You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this cold, wintry Thanksgiving weekend. I really took the opportunity this weekend to personally go on a little mini retreat where I didn't go out in the world much, and so am finding it really interesting to get back into the world again, and noticing that I'm carrying that essence of silence, that essence of contemplation and sweetness. So I invite you into that experience as well as we revel in the beauty of our Christmas decorations again that Andrea Nishihara put together and from her heart with great love. And as we enter into this Christmas season consciously, I really acknowledge you for being here this morning in name of that intention to enter the Christmas season consciously. One of our traditions during Advent is that we light the Advent candles. So at the 11 o'clock service, I have invite children from the Youth and Family Ministry to come over and light them. We do not have children's services at the 9 o'clock right now. I hold the vision that one day we will be big enough or grow, our youth will grow enough that we will have some in at 9 as well. But until then, I would like to invite one of you this morning to light the candle. Was there? Yes, Anna Maria. I got it. So this morning you're going to be lighting this candle.
I always have trouble with these.
Hold on. Let's make sure that it's... Yes, it is. There we go. So you are lighting the candle for hope this morning. So thank you so much. So as we prepare to go to begin our service, let us take a minute to pray. And as we begin with prayer, I'm going to actually read the scripture that goes along with the symbol for this quality. Advent means preparation. So this quality of hope that prepares us for the arrival of the Christ. We're going to be reading from Isaiah in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, where he is prophesizing, and prophets are not typically liked in their own time because they challenge what is from a place of foresight, of truth. Mystics are sometimes prophets. They're not tied to the world in the same way. And here Isaiah is prophesizing the coming of a new Savior, a mighty Counselor. And he says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign." This is how we'll know this mighty one, this Prince of Peace, has arrived. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel, translated in both the Greek and in the Hebrew, means God is with us. So from this virgin, from this purity, will come the consciousness of God is with us. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to close your eyes. As we open to that field, that reality, where God is with us. Right here, right now, I am here, God is here. I am that. So as we light the candle for hope in our Advent wreath, we also light the candle of hope in our heart. This capacity to wait without expectation, to know the divine promise of awakening, of Christ. God is with us, and we awaken to that. And so it is. Amen. Tis the season. You know, I went after Halloween, so November 1st, I went looking for some Thanksgiving decorations, some fall decorations in all of my usual stores. Do you know what I found? Christmas. No fall, or, you know, very, very little fall decorations, nothing that I really was excited about. So it's like Christmas has already been here with us for a while, and yet now it's officially here. Now everyone's on board with it's the Christmas season. But no matter what your relationship, your traditions are with Christmas, you cannot avoid Christmas. You couldn't probably a month ago, but now you certainly can't. There's, you know, it spans our social structure. How many of you go to the same amount of parties during the Christmas season that you do during the rest of the year? Probably not, right? There's more social connection. There's a religious component. There's a spiritual component to this holiday season. So there's a depth of practice that we're called into. There's an economic practice that we're called into, because we participate, hopefully and most likely, in some form of the economy during this time of year that we don't maybe in other times. So there's a whole host of ways that our life is touching this season. So it becomes even more important to be conscious of how you are in relationship with this season. How you are in relationship. I use that word a lot because truly we are in relationship with everything. This is that I-thou relationship where there is the divine in me responds to the divine in you or in the world. There's a mutuality, a give and a take, a receiving and a flow that is part of a relationship. So how are you in a relationship with this season? And it occurred to me that there's really kind of two primary basic ways that we can be in relationship with this season. One is the red and green Christmas, the holly jolly merry Christmas. And there's also the blue Christmas, the Christmas that feels like there's some something happening there that might be stirring within you. And I was looking to see, you know, what are the depression rates during Christmas? And what I found was super interesting is people don't really get depressed during Christmas. Not at the same rate that they do after Christmas. Interesting, during this time where we're focusing on love and light and generosity and singing and music and being together, there's a higher field of being held in that. But when Christmas is over, that's sometimes when the depression starts to spike. But it was interesting, what I did find was this statistic that, according to one North American poll, that 45% of the respondents said that they in some way dread the holiday season. Now, they don't qualify what that means. You know, dread can span from I'm going to have to spend more money than I want to I have to see my relatives, to I'm actually depressed. You know, there could be a whole range of reasons that you might dread the holiday season. But 45% of the respondents said in some way that they have some trepidation. So that made me, you know, pause and consider, you know, yeah, there really are these two movements of Christmas happening. And what I want to offer to us all is that they both have equal and beautiful value. They both have equal and beautiful value. Why? Because this is just like we were talking about as a part of the meditation. This is in the Christian tradition, both the via positiva and the via negativa, the way of the positive, the way of light, the way of reveling in the abundance. And the via negativa, which is the way of letting go, of entering into the mystery, of not knowing, of emptying oneself. So while at a surface level, some of these, especially with the blue Christmas kind of phenomenon, where there's this, you know, something is stirring, you might feel overextended, overscheduled, or you might be remembering. For many of us, we have lost loved ones, and during the holiday season, it's an opportunity to remember, oh yeah, we used to do this, or oh, I remember this family tradition, or, you know, so there's some tenderness that might come up. Or it might just be a time where, you know, there's struggle. And so during the Christmas season, it's particularly difficult because everyone else is holly and jolly and you're feeling, you know, not. But whatever it may be, my offering to you is that those are conditional. But there might be something deeper that is wanting to come forward. In this blue Christmas from the via negativa, from this emptying out, there might be actually, at a deeper level, a soul melancholy that's stirring. You know what melancholy is? It's like a thoughtful sadness that really has no cause, or a pensive sadness that has no particular outer cause, but it's there. You can't put your finger on it, but something is just heavy or heart-opening. This is that soul melancholy that might crop up during this season. And it's during these times that I would invite you, if that starts to crop up, to not take it as an outer condition. To not say, oh, it's because of this, but to really do some inner looking to what might be really arising. Why might I be feeling this way? And if it's something fixable, then, you know, see if you can fix it. But a true soul melancholy, you can fix it through spiritual practice or through, you know, some psychological practice. There's lots of ways to fix kind of worldly issues. But if it's a soul melancholy, there's no amount of quick fixes or tools or techniques that are going to address it. Because a soul melancholy is really about a deep soul longing for something more, for something deeper. Remember, the Christmas season is what? On December 24th and 25th, what do? We light the Christ candle as a symbol in our Advent of the birth of the Christ. So, of course, during this intensely deep spiritual time, there might be something stirring that's ready to be woken up, that's asking you to ask some big questions, like, what is the nature of this reality after all? I thought it was good, but there is an outer condition that's saying it might not be. You might have election feelings still, or there might be a disease. You might be questioning your faith. And in the face of all of this cheer and merriment, it might just exacerbate it even more that you have deep questions. My offering to you is that's perfect, because this is a deeply spiritual time that is asking you and is in your soul is yearning for a deeply a deep answer. So what do I mean by soul? Let's take a minute, because people throw around the word soul in a very cavalier way and have different meanings for it. What I'm talking about when I talk about the word soul is the highest aspect of us that is still uniquely us, still uniquely Camille, still uniquely Coney, and taps into the divine. Can have that. This is what in the quote that we worked with Meister Eckhart during the meditation. This is from that same essay where he talks about this is the ground of our being, where we are still uniquely us, but we also can merge into the divine and come back. It's the highest aspect of our true self that can be in some form that isn't about being merged into the divine, the oneness. And we can live more and more from that aspect of our being. And that's really what the awakening of the Christ is about, the birth of the Christ, when we're celebrating this season and we're preparing through lighting the hope candle this week and the love candle next week. And then the joy candle and the peace candle. These are qualities that we're lighting to prepare us for it. So in that same token, if there's a experience of this via negativa, this blue Christmas, these deep questions that are moving within you, it is about what this season is about, which is the birth of the Christ in a new form. There's something that's asking to come forward. Allow it. Don't take the outer symbol at a face value. Go into the silence. This is where your meditation practice becomes so important, especially my preference, centering prayer, where it's truly a deep surrendering practice, because you cannot answer the big questions from trying to figure them out with your mind. That will take you in this like circular rat race, and you'll just end up exhausted in the same place you started, probably actually less. It kind of starts to have this downward descent when you start really entertaining the mind. So instead, if these are soul stirrings, take them as that. If there's a big question on your heart, like, what does this all mean anyway, that is prompted during this time, allow it to open you to a deeper sense of who you are. This is about the birth of the Christ as you. This is where we lean into the values, the qualities of faith and hope and love. Hope, there's this this aspect that allows us to know that the questions that we're asking, the life experience that we're in the midst of, is all under the direction of a deeper plan. It's all unfolding as a part of a divine order. And ours is to simply listen and pay attention. Faith, knowing that there is a directional, that God is with us, walking beside us, even when we can't quite feel or know that divinity. And love is the binding power of the universe. Truly is the glue that holds us together, that holds us during our times of deep questioning and knowing. During the Christmas blue Christmas experience, lean into those qualities even more of faith, hope, and love as a way of embracing this via negativa, this path of letting go. And what are we letting go of? We're letting go of any concept, any notion, anything that we're holding on to that says this is God or this is good and this is not, ultimately. And we're leaning into a deeper truth, a higher truth. So there's this via negativa path, the path of letting go, the path of entering the mystery. And that might be your primary path this holiday season, and that's fine. It is a perfectly legitimate path. However, I would also say that the via negativa path is best when it is also inclusive of the via positiva path, this path of light. They work together to create the transformation. So what is this path of the via positiva, this path of light, this path of awakening? Well, at a very easy, basic level, it's what we're surrounded by this morning. It's the holiday lights, it's the decorations, it's the external symbols of this deeply joyous time, of the birth of the Christ, the divine in form as you. This holiday season, we celebrate the eternal birth that has come into human nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you cannot turn around without feeling it and seeing it somewhere. Listening to the radio, it's practically the only time of year that you can listen to pretty much, for the most part, positive songs. There's a couple of downers in there. But, you know, for the most part, these are joyous songs of coming together with family and friends, spiritual and religious songs, humanitarian songs about coming together, about loving each other, about giving more, about being generous, about forgiving, about celebrating the birth of the Christ. You can drive down the freeway and, you know, listen to this. It's also a time of putting up decorations. I remember I was doing that this weekend while I was putting myself in on a little mini retreat. And what I was aware of is, while at first my joy was derived from putting out the decorations and remembering, oh yes, this is one of my family's favorite decorations, and I remember these stories and getting the sense of joy from that. So an external decoration created an internal experience. At the soul level, that begins to shift. And I recognized that after a while, I was joyful for the sake of being joyful. And the decorations didn't matter anymore. It was an internal state. It was an internal experience. That is ultimately this love unbridled. That's what joy is. And this season can cultivate that. We can immerse ourselves in the fireplace with the hot chocolate and the experiences that really do warm our hearts. The meals that you might share together and the fun, you know, caroling if you do that. The choir concert that you will be attending. All of these experiences that really do hold that joy, but ultimately it's not about the external condition. There is an internal joy. The field of miracles. This is a season for miracles. And the ultimate miracle being the miracle of the manifestation of the Christ as you, that awakening. And these two currents dance together. You'll probably have some tapping into both, poignant moments, joyful moments. Allow them both to be real. The red and green Christmas is just as real as the blue Christmas, and the blue Christmas is just as real as the red and green Christmas. Because they're all in service to the preparation of our consciousness, our hearts, our soul, for that awakening. One of, I had an experience in November where I had just flown into Unity Village, and it got in late on a Sunday night. And actually one of my friends and fellow board members got in at the same time I did. So we ended up sharing a car out to the village, and it's about a 30, 40 minute drive out. And so it's, you know, it's suburban to rural Missouri area on this highway at like 11:30 at night. There are three cars on the road. Our car, a car in front of us that's, you know, normal distance, like normal freeway distance, and then a car kind of in the distance and behind us. Bill and I are chatting away, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see the car in front of us put on their brake lights. And not just like, and there was no one in front of this car. And they didn't just tap the brake. They were coming to a complete stop. And our driver had a split second to make a decision of how he was going to respond. Do you know what Bill and I did in the back seat, completely surrendered? We had no control over anything. We reached out for each other. In the face of whatever is arising, I invite you to reach out. If you're having more of a blue Christmas or a blue Christmas moment, reach out through the form of connecting with someone. Or reach out in the form of going into the silence, of taking it to God, open up to what might really be stirring. Offer it. Take time to just be. Give yourself the gift of pausing. If you're in the red and green Christmas experience, reach out through your light. Share your light. Serve. Be generous in the world. Be cheerful. Share the light and the love that you're experiencing. Read spiritual materials. Sing in great devotion. Share the joy that you are experiencing. Whatever it may be, through your family rituals, through your personal rituals, don't stop meditating too, but there's a different quality when you're in that light-filled space. There's more spoken prayers. There's more action in the via positiva, the way of light. However you're called to, reach out. Because that's where the transformation, that's where the engagement begins to really move us. Through our conscious participation, through our conscious reaching out. Go forth and live it.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.